Hello and welcome to the Unofficial Controller Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast, episode 179, or at least I think it's 179. I think I've lost count somewhere along the way. This episode's called Timeless Gaming Convention and Major Nelson Spotted Skulking Around Nintendo. With me, George, and this week joined by RGT and Seb, Timeless Legends, to my time, gentlemen, please. How's it going, Legends?
Very good.
Yeah, very good.
Seb, not seen you in a while. How are you doing? Furkay Corporation allowing you to speak to us today. Very generous of them.
Yes. Ratchet and Clank recently came to the PC, so I'm obligated to make all the rounds and talk about how great this game is, especially on the Steam Deck. So always glad to be here.
Wow. Well, Furkay own the show. They own RGT, but they refuse to buy me. So I'm just a tag-along, I suppose, like a free accessory as part of the deal.
A groupie.
Before, wow, I have peaked. let's get all this nonsense out of the way, gentlemen. I'm glad that you're doing well. Let's get stuck straight in with the question on everybody's lips: what you been playing, Seb? In your absence from the show, what you been playing?
Well, George, it starts with a simple story. Like, this year, I thought a crime was going to be committed. I thought that the video game industry was going to commit a crime, because I thought for sure that they were going to give Game of the Year to this punk kid who dresses like Elf, Will Ferrell's Elf movie, and looks like a Keebler elf, doesn't speak. I thought they were going to besmirch the good name of video games, of Video Game 2023, with giving Tears of the Kingdom the Video Game of the Year.
Best game ever made.
I thought to myself, I'm like, people have lost their minds if they give that game Game of the Year. But then, lo and behold, a savior came to rise. And this game is called Baldur's Gate 3. When I tell you...
I've been playing this.
Oh my goodness, have I? When I tell you that this is the best thing since sliced bread, it is sliced bread and the sandwich. It is everything. Everything. Because I kid you not, like, I go, like, I have never played D&D a day in my life. A day in my life. I always, low-key, I thought it was the nerdiest thing in the world. I was just like, I am a nerd, but I am not that level of nerd. But lo and behold, I have sunk down to the abyss, because I am indeed that level of nerd. Because I played Baldur's Gate 3. I felt like I played it. I have this character. His name is Leroy. He is a ranger.
Wow.
He is a ranger.
You can't call him that.
He is Leroy. He is a ranger. And this guy he's just a smooth cat, man. He's got the charisma. He be just talking to people. He don't even fight. Like, my Leroy can't fight nobody. Two hits and Leroy's out of there. Like, but Leroy has a gift of gab. He talks to everyone and he persuades them to either join his faction or, like, maybe fight each other. He goes to the goblins, instead of the goblins like saying, "Hey, what are you doing here? You're trespassing." He goes like, "Am I trespassing or am I in your heart?" And then I roll the dice mechanic, and I roll it. I'm supposed to roll a 15 or higher. Luckily, I roll an 18. And that means I've indeed persuaded these goblins to believe what I'm thinking, what I'm saying. So they're
sounds
like
George at Timeless.
Yeah, it does. It does. But indeed. And so, like, I roll that 18, and then next thing you know, they're like, "You are in my heart, man. I think I can't believe I haven't met you before, but now I've met you, I'm better now that I know you." And it is one of those things to where the goblin basically let me aside. And what do? I tell my crew member, as soon as we're in, you stab him. You stab that goblin before he realizes. Before he realizes we're not supposed to be here.
Wow!
So I go and, like, I just keep going. My crew member shanks the goblin, and then instead shanks the goblin, and then turns out goblin had a family. Family's ready to cut me down, and all this happens, like, that's 20 hours later. That the one goblin that I killed, comes back into play. Comes to bite me. I shouldn't have killed that goblin. Because like everything in this game, no matter how small you think it is, has repercussions to the greater world and to the greater story. Side quests that feel like, you know, like Witcher 3 has side quests. Those Witcher 3 side quests in Baldur's Gate impacts the whole entire world. A character that you might have thought like, oh, I was supposed to hunt like maybe a couple potions for him and that'll help him along his way. He comes back into play and turns out he might be the leader of a rebellion, like, or he might be the cousin of a rebellion, and that might get you in with the rebellion and such like that. Like this game, like Zelda, to its credit, and I was, you know, being a little in my character, like when I was talking about Tears of the Kingdom, Zelda with its gameplay mechanics, I feel like revolutionized, like gave you a level of freedom where it felt like revolutionary. This with its narrative, with its classes, with its builds, with everything mattering in its narrative feels just that same way impactfully, but in a different way. Like instead of it being like, oh, I magically can like warp through the ceiling, it's like, oh, I can talk to this person and the level of conversations we have can impact just not only my like my understanding of his people, but it also can like change the way like he might come and help me later on, or like I might run into a group later on and I might know knowledge that I shouldn't or didn't realize because like I had a cultural understanding of like this character's background now. Like everything comes into play. This game, when they said it had like 17,000 endings, they were not kidding. Like they were not kidding, because there's so many different branches that you can go on. I played 40 hours of this game and I'm on act one still. Act one.
How many acts is it?
There's three acts. Three acts.
You're never finishing that.
No, the crazy thing is like this, when I like on Metacritic right now, Baldur's Gate 3 is tied with Tears of the Kingdom, like has the highest score of the year so far, tied at 96. And I can understand why, because like the people who actually have completed it, and some people have mowed through the main quest in like 40 hours. I don't know how they did it. They must be like staying up like George playing his game that he's going to tell us about in a little bit. But like this, the way that the story is crafted, the way that the lore is crafted, it feels like so dense, just like Elden Ring was, where Elden Ring felt like it was not necessarily the largest open world. It felt like it was the densest, most layered open world. It feels like that, but it feels like that with its characters, with its mechanics, with its lore. Like this, I don't know how Larian has done this, because every character has lines of dialogue and every character is voice acted in
one
this game.
One thing, Seb, if I may, one thing that has me stumbling at the gate is the sort of the way you move around the map. It seems very Diablo to me.
I would describe it more as Dragon Age.
Yeah, but it's zoomed out, isn't it? And you're kind of like, he goes where you want him to go, as in click here and he walks there. It's a very mouse-based game.
No, on the contrary. Like, when you're playing on control, like, if you're playing on PC, it is like, click here, the guy goes here. But if you're playing on a controller, it controls just like Dragon Age. You just walk around. And you interact with everything in a Dragon Age and Diablo style way. Like it, that's the, and to their credit, they made it to where like this game feels like it's just as native of a console game as a PC game. Like if you're playing with a controller, like you could still you could still do like fireballs and all that kind of stuff without having to click on a guy. Then click.
What are you playing on? Steam Deck.
I'm playing on PC and Steam Deck, but like the same version of this game for PC is coming to PS5 in a couple of weeks. And this game feels like it is ready for PS5. Like this right now without like any adjustments.
Oh no. Just when you thought you were getting out, they pull you straight back in again. Oh, Mumsy, no. Fetch the credit card, order me Baldur's Gate 3, do it now.
I'll say this, like I am so
Switch.
Before like this game basically took over the world, because I know y'all heard about other people playing this and becoming obsessed with it, this is like I already felt like Starfield had the pressure of 1,000 suns on its shoulders, like to basically be a grand Western RPG. That feels like it's doubled now, because like it now needs to be just as good as Baldur's Gate, and it has all the weight of Xbox's failures and salvation.
I hate
on
to
it
say
right
this,
now.
But it's kind of got to be better.
That's what I'm saying. It needs to be perfection. Like, this game needs, like, Starfield needs to be a 10 out of 10. Like, anything less than feels like a failure for what all the expectations that it has to carry.
This close out the gates to that Baldur's Gate 3, as you say, a little, probably not a surprise to some people, but I think to the majority of people, a little bit of a sidewinder in terms of its quality and, as you say, depth and strength. They didn't see that coming, did they?
No, and to make matters worse, it's like because they postponed the Xbox version due to the Series S and like the Series S and having trouble developing for it. This is a timed exclusive for PlayStation right now.
Oh, no, it couldn't have come at a better time, could it?
Yeah, so I'm like, all the people who felt like they were missing out on like a Western RPG to the level of Starfield, like have Baldur's Gate, which is coming out the same week of Starfield. Yeah, that just, it feels like everything is stealing Starfield's thunder right now.
This is Xbox Towers. This was not part of the plan, guys. Who let this? Is this coming to Xbox? I'm sorry, boss. No, I mean, because of the Series S. Oh my God.
Yeah, so I'm like, if you're Xbox, like, I know a report came out like earlier this week that they said they were sending like Xbox was sending developers to Larian Studios to like help them get that process going, but like, or help them through that process. But like, this feels like if I'm Xbox, you got to put that, like, you got to work out a deal to put this game on Game Pass at this rate. Like, you got to find something, like, it just can't just come out on Xbox, you know, and just be like, oh, well, like, half a year later, this game's now on Xbox. This thing needs to feel like, oh, it's half a year later, and now this game is also on Game Pass.
Especially all the PC players who have got Game Pass on the PC, but, you know, they've probably played Baldur's Gate by the time it comes out on Xbox. So your market's going to be quite small, do you know what I mean? And are people... Once all the thunder and all the hype has gone from Baldur's Gate 3 and then it comes out on their system 6 months to a year later, is there still going to be that hype there? You know what I mean? It's a game that's been played, reviewed, and gone. You know, it's an awkward situation, isn't it?
Kind of missed that window.
Yeah, I will say, like, to answer your question about, like, the longevity of this, the way that this can be a single player game and the way you can also like have adventure with your friends as far as like they can completely control the character and like Grand Theft Auto, whatever they want in any save file that you're playing, as far as like if y'all are playing co-op together, like y'all
that's
can,
cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so it's very much like D&D in real life, to where like I can be at one part of a completely different map and they can be just interacting with like in Act Two, interacting with a completely different place, and like ramifications happen based on what they've did in a completely different part of the world. Like,
oh, wow.
We don't even have to, like, even though it can be split screen or it can be like co-op, it's like this game is, it feels like y'all are sharing the same adventure, but like this person is like half a country away from you, also living the same adventure, causing repercussions on your like side of the fence as well.
That's incredible. That depth is unbelievable how they've got that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know if I've seen anything like this.
No.
Like, And that's why I was like, even though I was kind of low-key kind of playing earlier about Tears of the Kingdom, it's like Tears of the Kingdom does things that we haven't quite seen before in a video game. But like, even still, like the rest of that 50% is also just more Breath of the Wild. You know, like, you know, it is still, besides the, you know, the caverns and the sky islands, and then like the new mechanics as far as like, you know, Ascend and all that kind of stuff, like the rest of the game is relatively the same. Like, they didn't change anything with like the way the action is basically based. Like, there's no like new, the dodge is still the same, the way like the strikes are still the same. This game feels like it does so many things that I haven't seen done in a video game before.
Seb, question.
Yeah, what's up?
Before this turns into the Baldur's Gate 3 fan show, What?
That's all I've been playing, by the way. That's all I've been playing. That's on the review level, like that I'm not reviewing right now.
Plenty of codes, full of embargoes.
Yeah,
that's your new T-shirt.
It should be just embargoed. That's it.
I'm embargoed, but for many different reasons. Let's jump to RGT. RGT, what you've been playing, and when do you want to talk about Timeless? Now, after the news, in the news?
Do you want to show
everyone your drawing of Mags doing his dance off?
Have you jumped back into Harvestella?
We'll get to that.
No,
I haven't. I just want to see your face.
Thank goodness.
I just flatlined. I've not. Once again, I'm recording an episode with zero sleep. Why, how, who, video games, I'll tell you. And Timeless knocked me out of sync with my sleeping as well. I needed like 2 days.
George has been up all night playing games again.
Mumsy, bring me caffeine or a hug or something.
Or a hug.
Or so, anything. Hold my hand while I record. RGT, what have you been playing? When do you want to talk about Timeless? Now?
Well, then? I'll do after my games, and then we'll. I've got my hidden gem, and then we'll go into it then, shall we?
Yeah.
You're the new official president of the show, so when do you want to do it? Yeah. I'm the T-boy.
I've got the longest name badge in history that you're about the titles you give me. I've been playing Tears of Kingdom now up to the final battle, so very, very close on that. I think I've just ticked over 110 hours on there, which is quite a lot of hours. I've also been playing some more Lego Skywalker Saga on the Switch, as we've been away this week. Because we've been away, it has mostly been Switch stuff this week. We also, while we were away, me and George had a little, because he's now a massive Switch fan. I didn't know if you knew that, Seb.
Yeah, I didn't know that. It also made me wonder why. In 2023, why is he a Switch fan?
Oh, I know. He's all over the Switch now. Now it's sort of come to him a bit late. Now he's got on board with it. That's like a whole new library to him, bless him. But so while we're away, we took a few Switch games when we were in the hotel. Mario Golf Rush we played.
Okay.
To which George gave me a bit of a thrashing on that.
Did he cheat?
No, he's good at that game, ain't he, George? Golf Rush.
Seasoned pro.
Well, he's good at that. We also, but he wanted to have a bit of look at certain games we're playing. So we tried Star Wars Jedi Knight. That would go on there.
Switch.
Yeah, that literally is the PC port chucked on there. So you've almost got the PC mouse controls with a controller.
When did that come out as well? Was it like 1999 on PC? Or was it like, it looks like a 2005 game, doesn't it?
I was about to say, on the Switch, that thing probably ran like sandpaper.
No, it ran well.
Well, because it's a really old game, but it's just literally the PC port dumped on the Switch. So you've literally got mouse controls with a controller, which feels very wooden.
What's his full name? Jedi Knight...
Star Wars
Jedi Academy or something.
Jedi Academy, yes, yeah, the first one, which I believe was a PC and original Xbox. Am I right in thinking that?
I think so. Yeah,
yeah. So we had a go on that. George showed me a bit of Witcher 3, obviously running on the Switch, which
so good. You know, looks like 4K.
That thing probably looked like it had Vaseline.
Yeah.
No, one thing I'll say about it is when I don't know if you missed last week, Seb, but
okay,
it's cross-progressional with the PS5 version.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously I've been playing it on PS5, switching to Steam Deck. Steam Deck?
It's on your mind. We're wearing them down, everybody. We're wearing them down.
Mom's the order of Steam Deck.
Two of them. One for upstairs, one for down. I know it's a portal, but you know, you got to have them. Yeah, and you can just carry on playing. And I know it's not the best port. I'm not going to get all completely fanboy on this and tell you it's immaculate. And it is terrible. Well, it's not terrible.
Are you having fun, though?
Yeah, I am. And that's all that matters. Yeah. And it looks probably slightly better than Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy on the Switch. That's what I'll say.
Are you playing? So you being new to the Switch landscape.
Hang on. I will answer all these questions.
Okay.
Let's just let RGT finish his plethora of games.
My apologies, RGT.
I know you're excited. I'm excited to talk about Switch. I've got that good Nintendo royalty money coming in now. I don't know why I didn't tap into this Gold Rush vein before. I don't know what I was thinking.
Okay. and then the only one I had left.
My shame. So dirty and all exposed.
We fired up Tears of the Kingdom, just restarted it just so George could see the opening of that, which I think he was quite intrigued by. Yeah. But other than that, that was pretty much it.
Why aren't you telling them how we were sat in the hotel on two little chairs around the TV, and then I went and laid like Jeff Goldblum on the bed so I could see.
With your legs up, the back of your legs up, you were just laying like mermaid there, style, basically.
Baseball jersey slightly open.
Yeah,
chest hair, medallion.
It was like Nintendo Hugh Hefner.
I miss y'all.
I can't even imagine what that looks like. That looks like Mario in a silk dressing gown.
Luigi cravat.
Oh my. Okay.
Yeah. So that was pretty much it. Most of the like I say, Switch this week, because we were away for middle of the week. So that was pretty much what I played.
Okay. Okay.
Wow. Is it me already? Has it come round to me?
Yeah, George, I'm intrigued. Yeah. What have you been playing?
Witcher 3.
Okay.
PS5 and Switch. Loving the portability option. I've been playing some Eastwood, which been thoroughly enjoying that.
I told you you would. Get in.
Everything about it, sublime. Pixel artwork. The script, I know it's all just sort of stuff. If anyone wondering what that is, that's the non-generic noises that a game makes as it lists dialogue on the screen. But the dialogue is meaningful. I'm out of the underground now, and I'm, you know, into meeting the first surface village. Mm. I did like the little sort of you board Charon, and it's obviously, without ruining too much, it's a train. Yeah. But then when the train plows through the mayor's town, I was like, oh, this is just great.
Yeah. That's brilliant, that game.
Yeah. There's some really good bits in there that I've enjoyed. So that was my sort of antidote to The Witcher 3, just a little bit of colour, a little bit of fun, a little bit of side ramble, you know.
Your palate cleanser.
My palate cleanser, as we call it, Seb. Perfect, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I thought last night, oh, I've got Luigi's Mansion 3. I really want to give that a go. I'll give it a go. Basically, say goodbye to sleep. That game just wants you to hoover up something else. It wants you to play with something else. Now, I know for everybody else this is old news, but you know what? You know me. Late comer, even to the Switch. put all of my expectations in a cup, and it's 10 times better than what I thought it was going to be. So, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. This game is superb, and it's one of those ones where I just cannot leave it alone, to the point where I'm now running on probably 5 minutes sleep. So this, I feel like I am in Luigi's Mansion 3 right now.
So
you're Luigi today.
I am Luigi.
George, you had a library, like you had a new platform of it, like you had a new system available to you, and you had a library of games to choose from. What made you choose Luigi's Mansion as one of your first, like, as one of your first three games on that console?
It's always been one. I've obviously played it on other systems in the past.
Okay.
And it's one that I just kind of have a soft spot for. It's not overly difficult. you know, it's challenging at times, but nothing that you can't work out with a little bit of gameplay experimentation. And that's been true to the series the whole time. And I just think that it was just a fun little thing to stick on. And it really does play to what I would call Nintendo's strengths in the modern era. Like, the little cutscenes are fun, the interactions are funny. It's all just on that flip side of gaming where it's just
slapsticky.
It's just a little bit of fun. And I think that in my gaming palette, I've been missing a little bit of that.
That was the first game I played on Switch. The first Switch I had was a Switch Lite. Mrs. RGT bought me a Switch Lite for Christmas with Luigi's Mansion 3. So that was my first game, and I just stayed on that until I completed it, and I loved it. Such a good little game.
I'll tell you one thing about it, though. When it's docked, that pushes the Switch hard.
It
was red hot. Handheld, graphical downgrade admittedly is visible. It still looks great on the handheld. It still does. But it throttled right back. I heard it just go, "Oh, thank goodness for that. Get me out of that dock. I was working hard there, but now I can chill out." And it does push the console, but it looks great. And great example of what can be done. I'd imagine, and I don't want to get on this slippery bandwagon yet, I'd imagine that looks great on the OLED.
Yeah, I reckon.
Like I said, I played it on the Switch Lite, so I played it all in handheld, and it did look fantastic on there. I've never tried it on my OLED, but that's intrigued me a bit now.
I quite like the way that the rooms just kind of fit the screen of the Switch. I know I've been playing it docked, but when I took it off, it became even more apparent that you feel like you've got this little, it almost feels 3D in a way, that you're moving in and out of this space, you're walking into the back of the Switch and walking forward out of it. Very clever.
It seems that, because I played Luigi's Mansion 2 on the 3DS with the 3D on, and it does remind me of that. They've sort of, even on the Switch, it does look like there's depth to the screen. It's clever how
it really does, yeah. Even on the TV, actually, if it makes you feel like the edges of, like,
yeah, makes you feel like you're looking in a window, doesn't it?
Yes, into the room. Through a window, or this kind of seeped off the screen, right? They're kind of crossing the glass barrier. Yeah, I think it's quite cool.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
I love how enamored y'all are with the Switch still. Because I feel like after 6 years, I feel the 6-year-ness of it, because I can't play that thing like docked anymore, because like I've been spoiled by 4K-ness of PlayStation 5 and then Series X and stuff like that.
To that point, I actually feel quite sort of released by it. I've kind of let go of Got to get the picture the best I can get it. I normally play on high fidelity mode. I want to see all of this. And when I play Witcher 3 on PS5, I have it maxed out. I want it to look amazing. But then when I do a cloud save and switch to Switch, I don't care. I'm just playing the game and enjoying myself. And I think that's one of the things I've experienced over the last month or so. I'm just enjoying playing a game. And because of how sort of in between different places I am and all that sort of stuff, instead of like, oh God, got to get back home. Got to turn on the 4K TV. Got to do all this. Got to do all that. I'll play a Switch on top of a compost heap. I'm not even bothered. I'm playing a game and I don't care.
Yeah, I think that that's the contrast of like playing it docked versus handheld, because I feel like I can kind of, in my mind, I can kind of like let that go when I'm playing handheld, but when I'm playing docked, I feel that, you know, like, because I'm like, it feels like it's, it feels like a 360 generation like type of experience when I'm doing that.
I will agree with that. Some of the textures and the way things are, there was a couple of things I noticed in Luigi's Mansion, like a circle wasn't quite a circle. It was lots of different lines and edges to create a circle, and you could see it.
Well, I think with me, I think playing the Switch, I mean, especially like, I know I'll go back to it, Harvestella is a lot of PS2 graphics. Mm-hmm. The character models are PS2, but I didn't care because I didn't expect anything else. It's a Switch game. Whereas you find now with your next gen PS5s and Series X's, you're almost criticizing it before you've put the game in. You're trying to think, oh no, that ain't looking what I should, you know, should think it should look. That's not quite 4K. There's a bit of a frame drop there. On the Switch, you just put a game in and play it, but, you know, because you don't, you're not expecting that. You're just expecting to play a good game.
Yeah, I've been guilty of that big time. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of shook me on its head. Not that I'm an absolute graphics maniac, don't get me wrong, you know.
No.
But when I pay the big money for a game, I want it to be the best it can be. I want it to melt the system of choice. Now, everything is melting the Switch right now, but there's something about, they just get a free pass. That's not going to last as I work myself through the must play of the back catalogue. There's lots in there, but there's also not that much. And
that's what kind of rubs me the wrong way, though. It's like, because like, it does get that free pass, you know, like even like I can understand the graphics part. Like, it's never going to be a graphics behemoth. We shouldn't expect it to be something it's not. But then like when we're playing something and it has frame rate drops, and I'm like, that doesn't have anything to do with graphics. That's the way like the game is running, and it's not. And I was just like, this is your native first party like hardware, first party studios. Like, I think like if we had Horizon and Horizon had massive frame rate drops, it would be taken out into the street and beaten. Like, absolutely, it would be brutalized.
Yeah,
absolutely brutalized. But I'm like, Pokemon got that free pass, like, because it's a Nintendo IP, like, because it's a Nintendo IP. Also, like, when we talk about like games on the other side of the fence with when it comes to PlayStation and Xbox, they get criticized all the time about them being more of the same. Spider-Man 2, for instance, like, it's a lot of the narrative leading up to that game right now is like, how are they going to make this not more of the same? But I'm like, other than a couple of gimmicks, like, Mario has been the same for 3D like 30 years, other than like, other than it being 2D Mario or 3D Mario. But outside of that, you're still chasing something to get the princess back. I'm like, it's the exact same core, but with just a different gimmick. But like Spider-Man, like, they're like, that anticipation around that game, they're like, if this game isn't super revolutionary compared to the two predecessors, like, a lot of people are going to see that as a misfire, you know. And Nintendo gets that pass just because like they're working.
Well, they took themselves out of the game, but at the same token, you know, they reinvented the game. It's going to be interesting to see if they can carry on the success with the Switch 2, the Super Switch, call it what you want. Talked about that last week. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. At this moment, I've been acquiescing on the whole idea of, is it okay for it not to be backwards compatible to Switch 2? And I've really come to the conclusion now, no, it has to be. And if it isn't,
it's a ding. It feels like a blow. It feels wrong at that point. Because I'm like, you made us sign up with Nintendo IDs in the same generation that PlayStation has moved over. PlayStation and Xbox have like had IDs that basically transfer most of your games from the last generation over to their new platform.
Yeah.
I'm like, at that point, when you're the only person who isn't doing that, it feels wrong, especially when Xbox is letting you play original Xbox games. Original Xbox games. Mm. Nintendo is going to put all their games behind a paywall that are like on the retro style because they want you to pay for the like Nintendo Switch Online platform. You know, like,
I can see them doing that again. I can see them having some sort of paywall, or maybe re-releasing all the Switch's biggest hits on the Switch 2, the Super Switch, call it what you like. I can see it.
all that said and done, the good news, though, is Anno has released its vice-like grip on my throat. You'll be pleased to know. And I still get the pull to it, but I think I'm done with it. It's a nasty game, if I'm honest with you. If I hop on it for 5 minutes now, just before I delete it, oh my goodness, I'll be on it all day. I love that game, but I hate it at the same time. It's just my kind of crack. Mm. And have you played Anno, Seb?
I think that's the one where it's like you're building like a lot of ships, right? Is that right?
Sort of, mainly cities, basically, but you need ships for defense and transport of goods. But yeah, that would be it. It's a great game. I'd imagine
early
1900s,
right?
1800, yeah.
1800, thank you. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. You imagine it'd be brilliant on what?
Steam Deck.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's quite the behemoth under the hood. That's why it's kind of only on the next-gen consoles and obviously on PC. It's all the systems and the sub-layers that are running underneath it that actually soak up all the system's power. I should think Steam Deck could run it. It would be interesting to get a report back from you how that shook out. So, yeah, like I say, for me, that game is very addictive. To most people, they'd probably just pass it by, but I've got to recommend it. We've arrived at that point where I either need to sing RGT's theme tune or we talk about Timeless Gaming Convention. Which would you like it to be, gentlemen?
Let Seb choose.
Wow. I believe we need to hear from the president first.
Who is the president now? Because it used, obviously it was me, but now I think obviously for 4K Corporation, if you want to know the history of 4K, you've got to dig in the back catalogue. They own the show. RGT, it's your call.
I think it's RGT. I think we should hear from RGT first.
Because I'm literally the T-boy.
Yeah, so sing up, T-boy.
Me, 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 me.
Me, 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 me. RGT, yeah. He's like the Lone Ranger. Riding on down. To bring hidden gems to me.
Beautiful.
That's probably going to be as awful on playback as it was. RGT, what you got for us, friend?
Right, this is a game developed by Bizarre Creations.
Are me and Seb going to do the guessing game?
Yeah,
this week?
Did a little.
Do you want to do the guessing game?
Yeah, for sure.
Is it the club?
No. I played this on PS3, but it's also available on Xbox 360.
Is it Blur?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
Is it Blur?
Yeah! He was right!
It certainly is.
Well, yes. It was not going to be Project Gotham, so it was either Club or Blur.
Yeah, I chose this game because it always surprises me with this, because this was a really, really good game.
When did this come out?
2010, this was out.
Did it? Back end of that gen?
Yeah. And this was, I don't know if you remember back in the day, Activision, they took over Bizarre Creations and bought them out.
Yeah.
Another one of their studios they sort of swallowed up. But they were shouting that this was going to be for racing games what Call of Duty was for SBS. This was their big online racing game. And it was actually reviewed really good. It was getting mid-80s on
Metacritic. Let history decide whether they pulled that off or not.
Yeah. Well, it got really good reviews. It was in the 80s, mid-80s on Metacritic. Good game. I mean, I think I bought it on launch. Or a friend bought it for me on launch, I think. But anyway, I loved it. I loved this game. Sales numbers were terrible for it. I think it sold like 800,000 in total. It was terrible.
Seb's gone.
Yeah.
It was just the way you said it. Sales numbers were terrible.
They were terrible. They were terrible. That's the definition of a hidden gem, though. Yeah, I think it was because that year you had Need for Speed. So I think it was Most Wanted. There were so many racing games that year.
I tell you the thing that gripped it for me.
was that Bizarre Creations I'd supported since their sort of inception with, let's take it all the way back to Formula One on the PS1, this great pedigree for racing games. Now, I'm not here to besmirch Blur right now, obviously, because it's your hidden gem, but obviously following it through Metropolis Street Racer, through the Project Gothams, a little bit of a side dabble with the club. Fair enough. All right. But then, just when everyone's mourning the loss of a studio making probably my personal favorite racing game series of all time, we arrive at
Cruising
the point...
USA?
Say again.
Was it Cruising USA?
No. Sadly, no. Everyone's mourning that. And then instead of meeting us halfway and just changing the name of the city from Metropolis to Project Gotham to something else, they succumb to the power and they release Mario Kart with Aston Martins.
That's what it is. It's Bigger Boys Mario Kart is what it is. That's what it is. It's licensed cars, your Ford Focuses, all your bits and pieces with combat racing involved. And I thought the controls are really good. Graphics look really good. It's a lovely looking game. And I absolutely loved this game. And it did surprise me that it absolutely bombed as it did. And I know I say this every week on Hidden Gems, but they were trying something that was something a bit different. I know you're all laughing. It's actually a really good game. It is a really good game. You need to try it. And also, 4-player split screen.
That's really?
4-player split screen, yeah.
Couch co-op for 4 players.
Exactly, yeah.
So you got to find 3 other people who want to play Blur with you, though.
Oh, Seb. Oh,
well, it's me, it's Mumsy, it's him, and it's Stingray, isn't it? Job done.
Yeah, like you mentioned Mario Kart earlier. I'm like, you'd have an easy time selling them a Mario Kart now, but like Blur?
Yeah, but hang on. Let him finish, because let's find out the price.
How much was it? Well, if you want to pick this up now, you can pick this up for $5 to $10.
I thought you might say like a book 50, not yeah, 5 to thinking. 10.
You could pick it. I'm being generous, but I mean, you could easily pick it up for 5, especially on the 360. You can pick it up for that. But it's
a whole meal.
There's a decent single player. Decent single player career to it. I'm flogging a dead horse here, aren't I?
No, you're not. Blur's a hidden gem.
I'm just messing with you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
High price cup of coffee.
Yeah, but there's a single player career mode to it, which is quite good fun with boss races, and you can get upgrades, and you can also carry three weapons at a time and choose which weapons you want. Which you can also have shields on. You can have. You could get a lot of spanner to repair cars. You're going around, just all that sort of Mario Kart esque side to it. But they tried it in a not a real world setting, but real world vehicles, I suppose. But I definitely for $5, I'd definitely give it a go if you're into your car combat.
May I ask a follow up question?
Yeah,
is this better or worse than the Twisted Metal franchise?
It's better than the later Twisted Metals, I think. Okay. But it's more because this is circuit racing, so it's obviously Twisted Metal was a bit of an open arena, weren't it, where you were fighting? Yeah. So slightly different combat. This is more of circuit racing, but it's better than the later versions of Twisted Metal.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot to say. I think a lot of people know what Blur is. Not a lot of people have played it. I think 9 times out of 10, when people actually play it, they sort of think, oh, actually, this is a decent game. It does feel quite high quality. It seems they had a good budget on it. But I think it's a case of, with like so many games now, it was released at the wrong time.
Yeah, released at the wrong time, and it sadly killed the studio.
Yeah, and they were currently in the process of making Blur 2, which was canned, and Bizarre Creations disappeared.
Oh, they took a palate cleanser in Blur, and then they proceeded to gorge themselves on more Blur.
Yeah,
I think it was maybe a mistake in hindsight, but general hindsight won.
And I think Activision didn't help with what they were saying about this game. You know, they were overhyping the heck out of this game, you know, saying what it was and what it was going to do to the gaming industry and all the rest of it. And by the time it came out, everyone's like, it's good, but I'm not sure it's what you're saying it is.
You got to love pre-launch hype, haven't you? You've got to love
especially in the mid-2000s.
Is there a limit they wouldn't go to?
I almost don't blame Activision, though, because, like, I feel like around that 2000s, especially around the 2010s when this game kind of came out, it's like we were so oversaturated with, like, racing games around that time.
Definitely,
you know?
Definitely, yeah.
It's kind of like they picked a very hard niche market to stand out in. You know,
it was that Fast and Furious era run that everyone was trying to.
Yeah. I think they probably looked at it, you know, from a market penetration point of view and said, actually, do you know what? We've got a hole in our arsenal here that we could fill. Let's go buy one of the most renowned companies, if not technically the most renowned right now in this space in racing games, and then use them to make something that can pump car racing games the way we pump FPSs. It makes sense in a boardroom. But as always, boardroom decisions don't always execute in a great game, which is a bit of a history of the industry for us, really. But, you know, it's a shame. Like I say, a lot of those people got absorbed by Codemasters, though, if memory serves, and now they're serving good effort on the new series that Codemasters have got, which is now part of EA. They've been on a journey, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. So, RGT, I'm hearing good things about this game right now, but, like, I want to ask you if Activision, with them being basically bought at this point by Xbox, mm-hmm. like if Xbox announced that they're bringing back, like, one franchise back, would you want it to be Blur?
I think if they brought Blur back now, it would stand a lot better chance of surviving than what it did back in the day. Because I think, especially arcade racing games, it's very hit and miss nowadays. Your Forza Horizons, they're the main games now. Your last few Need for Speeds have been
hit or miss, yeah, for sure.
Very hit or miss. And bring a bit of combat racing into the space, I think could do well. I think definitely. Bring a Blur 2 to Xbox exclusive, I think that could do quite well.
Okay, we've come this far. Let's address the two elephants in the room. First elephant in the room. He's not an elephant. He's a cherub. He's a beautiful man. Bobby. Hopefully he'll be back next week. He's been a little bit busy. But as always with the show, he gives people the free rein. He's now exploring finger painting in a cave. It's part of a sort of holistic retreat he's gone on. Fair play. Show's paid for it. Thank you, Furke. And he'll be back next week, hopefully, representing New York in the best way possible. And maybe even if you play your cards right, listeners, we might even give you a Bobby Solo show, just so you get your little hit of him. The other elephant in the room, obviously, we went to a UK gaming convention organized by Middle-Aged Gamer and Amy. It's Timeless Gaming Convention, RGT. I want to feel like I'm in an advert for a 1980s local regional TV sofa company. Could you give me a rundown on Timeless in that way?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
1980s advert for a sofa company.
Or a carpet warehouse, yeah.
Probably not, but I will give it a go.
Timeless Gaming Convention. Berry Ella Mill. Three floors of retro arcade goodness.
Four floors. and a restaurant.
Four floors. With dining.
Four floors. It was very good. Enjoy, you know, the arcade itself is immense.
Blew my socks off.
I mean, if you think of an arcade game, it is there. I couldn't believe this. You know, I thought that'd be filled with a lot of arcade filler, but it wasn't. There was every machine you could think of, from your Donkey Kongs to your Marios to your Gallaghers.
And even the filler had poignancy, everything. Is what I would
yes,
say.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, So as for the arcade itself, absolutely fantastic. For Mags and Amy, they put on a fantastic show.
Didn't they just? They should be proud of themselves.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were going from, you know, they were probably there before 8 o'clock in the morning and were still there well after 10 o'clock at night. So that is a long, long day. They kept it going. You had the stage. You had the competitions from Mario Kart to Street Fighter 6 to Rocket League to GoldenEye 64. You know, there was all the competition throughout the day. Then you had the interviews on stage. So we were lucky enough to be in the podcast panel, answering a few questions.
And our little stand meet and greet area was right next to the stage. So we basically got a great timeless experience. So we had main stage. So when we went up there for that panel, we were obviously there meeting and greeting, handing out the wonderful fridge magnets, stroke coasters, call them what you like. And you know, thank you to everyone that we met. We had a great time. Hopefully you got your fridge magnet. It's on your fridge now, or your whatever metal receptacle that you've got, be it a radiator, be it your microwave, whatever. These things are magnetic. We met a man that said he didn't have a fridge. I asked him where he kept his milk. He said in a cow. At that point, I'm done. Just take the fridge magnet. I don't want
so
it.
So
okay?
Good. It's so good.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah. And you should have asked him, do you have a car? You could stick it on there.
I got the feeling that he didn't want the fridge magnet. He was.
What should we have given away? Here's a free champagne, UCP champagne. But yeah, that was we met some wonderful people, didn't we? Some other content creators, and the wonderful Slopes was there. Obviously, we've had him on the show. Mm. We've had Mags on. He did an absolute stand-up job. We also met, and if you want a really great rundown of what the show Timeless was like to experience, Marathon Gaming, who we met on the day, what on... And his mate, Pirate Pete, forgive me, but he was wearing a pirate's... sounds like I've made him up. This guy's real, okay? But he was wearing a Pirates baseball jersey. So I felt like I'd met my brother from another mother. When I called him over, he said, I've been dreading this day, meeting a baseball fan. I only wear this because it's got a P on it, and my name's Pete. So I called him Pirate Pete. We're getting to the point. Pirate Pete's had more of a pump and a promo now than Marathon Gaming. Yeah. Marathon Gaming is where I'm trying to get to say, you know, both those guys, absolutely wonderful. If you want to experience what it was like, go to Marathon Gaming on YouTube, and you can basically experience Timeless, but in encapsulated form. He's done a great job, better than I'm doing right now, stripping over my tongue and making an absolute mess of it all. But Marathon Gaming did an absolutely great job. And that is a great example of the people that you meet at these events, that if I'd been hiding in Ponsonbury Manor here in Farmington, I never would have ever met him. Mm. Now we have. And do you know what, RGT?
What's that?
I'm looking forward to meeting him again.
Yeah, that's brilliant. We ended up playing games with him, didn't we? Four-player eight-run and...
That was so good. Like right up until I hit a car at the second to last corner, all four of us were seamlessly drifting and drifting around each other on the bends and changing places as well. I felt like I was a gaming god for a very short moment of time. Felt like I was an absolute gaming god. Such a rewarding experience that.
Mm. Yeah, it was fantastic and great guys. And, you know, we met a lot of good people. And, you know, like I say, they was from the cosplay competition, like I say, right through to gaming competitions. They even had some big names in game journalists there. They had some big names in developers there doing panels. There was something for everyone there. So if you
one of your missions is to get that gentleman from Rare on. We need him on the show. He was just so captivating.
Yeah. That's the thing I did like as well. When they are on and you're listening to their stories from back in the day of, you know, developing what from Banjo-Kazooie right through to 8-bit games, it was just fascinating to hear the stories and what they got up to and pulling all-nighters, having, you know, drink until 3 in the morning and then start coding at 6. You know, it's just fascinating stuff.
Yeah, that explains Banjo-Kazooie, mate.
Yeah. But there was so much for everyone there. If you're into your retro arcades, but you're not necessarily into the modern games, you know, for the price of a ticket, you've got a whole day there playing all your favorite arcade machines for free, because everything is free playing there. But then if you're into your retro stuff, you had your traders there who were selling games and board games. And
yeah. Let's take a moment to talk about Rowan. What is it? Rowan. MVP?
He's MVP, isn't it? MVP.
Listen to this, Seb. He makes Switch manuals for the game. Let's say you buy Mario Odyssey on Switch, never came with a manual. He's actually gone off and made a Nintendo quality look, feel, touch, smell, taste.
Very high quality, yeah.
Version of a Mario Odyssey manual. So you've got, I saw him, my eyes were on stalks, couldn't get my Mario themed wallet out quick enough to throw him down my Mario themed coins to buy these exquisite works of art. Now, is he on Etsy?
He's on Etsy. Yeah, what I'll do is I'll put a link to his Etsy in the we can do it in the show notes, can't we? We can also do it in the Discord as well.
Seb, you need these manuals.
I don't have a physical copy of anything anymore, though. I don't have none to put the manuals in.
What do you cuddle up to in bed at night?
My Snuggie.
the Fur Cake Corporation.
No, the Fur Cake Corporation sent me a very silk, nice silk Snuggie. So I'm like,
that's not one of those sort of like anime pillows, bolsters, or whatever.
No. You know, I, you know, that's too rich for my blood. That's too rich for my blood. One day, maybe I'll be able to afford a nice anime pillow. But in the meanwhile,
I'm spooned into a collection of Switch games with manuals now, and you're spooned into Snuggie. Snuggie needs an episode all his own.
Yeah.
I'm assuming a gender here is male. I mean, tell me, what is Snuggie?
So, Snuggie, like, y'all don't have Snuggies in the UK where it was basically like, it was like a robe, except instead of the front being out, it was just like the back was out, like a gown.
So it's not a furry.
I thought you were going to say something like a crotchless onesie. I was like, oh, no.
No, it's like it didn't have a back, so to speak. So when you're on the couch, you could still be, it's like, you can still have the movement of your arms.
I think we call them slankets over here.
Slankets? What?
Yeah. It's blankets for sleeves.
AKA, if you want to get a little bit old school, you might call it a poncho.
That's basically very what poncho. It is. That's basically what it is.
You
but
sleep
yeah.
in a poncho.
Nah. Sometimes I have it next to me in case I need to get up in the middle of the night.
Does Mrs. Triple S? Uh-huh. Know that you spoon into a slanky.
If anything, she's trying to steal it from me.
The female of the species do. They mock the slanket, but then they want to be the slanket.
It's like the Precious from Lord of the Rings. Like, no, everyone. It's like the Precious from Lord of the Rings. Everybody wants it. Everybody does battle for it. It's such like that. But in the end, you look at the ring and you're like, oh, that kind of looks gaudy. We don't want that ring anyways. But then it calls to you. It beckons to you. And next thing you know, you're in a war in the middle of the night for the Snuggie, so to speak.
Wow.
It's the Precious.
RGT loves the ring.
Yeah. So, you know, y'all brought this to my attention. And it sounds really cool, though. Like, I like the idea of someone doing these high-quality manuals. Like, which one did you get, George?
Which one? Which one didn't he get?
And does he also do like out things outside of Steam?
I saw that like manual display, much like Pokemon. Gotta catch him out. Whoa!
His
credit card.
His Breath of the Wild run was good, Seb, because he had. They're only little ones. They're only a few inches high. They just go into the top clip in your case. But on the Breath of the Wild one, he had little tick boxes. So he had all the armors. The artwork and they're glossy. They're absolutely fantastic. And you can tick off your armors or tick off your weapons or tick off, you know, all your different bits and pieces.
The Luigi's Mansion one, just to give you an idea, is done like a hotel review for the hotel itself. Oh,
yeah. They're really, really good. He puts a lot of effort into these. But just to answer your question, yeah, he is going to start expanding, he said, and try and do PS5 ones and different bits and pieces.
honestly, that's like the Breath of the Wild one sounds cooler than the game itself.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I'm like, that sounds to me more like I get more value than that than I would the game.
Wow. He's literally pulling no punches this week.
No, he is.
No, man, I'm on fire today. I'm like, I'm ramped up. Ramped up. But yeah, that is so interesting. That's so cool because, like, I do feel like when I do get a physical game every once in a while, I do feel robbed when I open it up and I just see like a little cartridge at the top and I'm like, this is it. Like, I can't get any fancy booklets. I can't even get like one of those cheap like advertisements like I used to do back in the day when you throw me a game I didn't want, you know, like, yeah.
Considering that they've got the clips in there for a manual to be placed and blatantly cheaped out on the fact that they just don't want to commit to that anymore because we need that extra, what, on the production scale of that size, 50 cents, 50p profit. It's a bit disingenuous. I don't think people maybe even read manuals anymore, but obviously I'm in the generation where you read the manual in the car journey home from the shops. Not that that'll be legal now because I'm driving.
I was just about to say swerving in the road.
Yeah, maybe something to peruse while you're having your coffee before leaving the city centre. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But back to Timeless. What I also liked about it was quite a personal affair because of obviously it was restricted in scale to this four floors of this arcade club. Everything felt personal. Every interaction was intimate.
Mm. Yeah,
not in the way you're thinking, RGT, but in, you know, a close, personal, friendly intimacy that was kind of forced not only by the constraints of the building itself, but by the fact that everything was bundled into that main floor we were on as well. Very nice. And then obviously when we got to strike down the little meet and greet area and then peruse the whole place at the end as it turned into almost like a gaming nightclub. And we got to slip upstairs and play such classics as NBA Jam, which I think you beat me on, Terminator 2, which I think you carried me on, Sega Rally, which you beat me on, Gauntlet, which...
Oh, a classic.
I think you carried me on. Or did I? I don't think I even knew which control was up. What else did you... You don't play nicely, do you, RGT? That's one thing I've noticed about you. I was glad going in I had that win in my pocket of Mario Golf, but one wonders if it was false. You let me win to give me this sort of false idea I'm some sort of gaming guru.
That's why he probably put the hands on you, because he was in a tizzy about losing in golf.
Put his hands on
you. That's why he probably put the hands on you. Put the paws on you real good. Put the paws on you real good because he was mad. He was in a tizzy because he lost at Mario Golf.
Well, he threw me around like a starving bear just crawled out of the cave, that's for sure. He did me dirty on every single bit of nostalgia I carried in my heart. You got slight memory from this from your childhood, have you, George? DDT through a flaming table, boof, leaves me wreckage on the floor. He takes no prisoners, does RGT.
Did I use the word tizzy right, by the way?
Absolutely perfect. Your English vocabulary is almost on point. When you referred, before we started recording, and you apologized for this rigmarole, I was like, wow.
Yeah,
he's practically a lord of England now.
Yeah.
I'm practicing for the trip over there because, like, when I come over there, I want to speak some of the slang there. I want to speak some of the slang. I want to be amongst the people.
Oh, well, you will be. Don't forget to bring your slang kit as well.
Yeah, I need to wear. Is that allowed to wear in the streets? Or
Is it a gaming branded one?
Not this time. I'm after five. You must
try harder. There's got to be a Mario one.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I get a Mario one, though.
I'm burning my PlayStation one in a sacrifice.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd get a Mario one. I think maybe who's the character? Maybe Gex. Gex might be right up my alley.
Wow. Gex.
Oh, I've been waiting for this moment. Hi, is that the Fur K Corporation?
Yes, what? It is.
In one opportunity to pump Ratchet and Clank, he chose Gex.
Mm-mm.
Tell him his contract's severed.
No, Hold on.
He's backpedaling. He's found reverse gear.
Before you get in the tizzy here, like, Gex is making a comeback now. Gex is making a comeback.
He is, isn't he?
Gex is making a comeback.
New game coming.
He's got a new game coming. He's got brand new.
You think he's got him? He slips out like a greased eel.
I'm telling you, we're one step away from getting a Blasto remastered at this point.
It's before. Okay.
We already got Toomba coming back. I don't know why. Who pulled out Toomba?
Breathe. Before we move on to the news, RGT, are there any props that we need that we've left on the table from Timeless? Because obviously we could dedicate a whole show to it, which we can, but we can't. Is there anything else that needs to be said? Obviously,
I know what I'd like to say. I'd like to say a massive, massive, massive thank you to Bada Bigster from the Discord for all his artwork. He done all the artwork for our banner on the front of our table. He done all the artwork for the pop-up banner, which then he then integrated our QR code. So people were just scanning that and just joined us straight away, made it much easier.
From a selfish point of view here, that worked seamlessly.
Yeah, it was absolutely perfect. So yes, thanks, Bada Binkster. You are a legend, mate. All your work you do for us, and from our flyers to our artwork for our fridge magnets, he does the whole lot and he never complains. So yes, thank you very much from everyone at Unofficial Controller Podcast, mate.
Andy sent me a Switch game this week, the little legend. Metroid Dread bolstering the collection. Yes, look at
that. I might argue that might be the only Switch game worth playing right now. Because it doesn't overtax the
system at all. What about Switcher 3?
It's like putting mayonnaise on a hot dog.
I might try that. Actually, sounds like it could be like a creamy little pork mess.
It's for somebody, you know. It's for somebody, but you know, it's the general population doesn't want it. It's one of those things, you know.
RGT looks like it just gagged on the porks, the creamy pork mess. If I'm honest. Oh wow! Now on, Mumsy. Okay, in future, when it gets to a reasonable time for a grown-up to go to bed, you insist I go to bed. Don't tell me what I said. Like, oh no, Georgie needs his gaming time. Just tell me it's time for Georgie to have his nap time.
He says this, and then he's going to start playing Mario Odyssey next.
Throw this. Oh, hello, darkness, my old friend. Pleased to meet with you again. So let's summarize. To all the people with the stands, and we're going to get links in there. Marathon Gaming, if you haven't already, get in Discord, promo yourself. Rowan, if you haven't got in there already, get in Discord, promo yourself. Oh, we've made a new rule, by the way, Seb. We're not pumping the Discord anymore. We think it's such good value, seeing as its price to entry is free.
Oh.
That we've been over pumping it. People are cautious, aren't they, of things that are free. People are cautious of things that are too good to be true. So now we're going to ramp it back. And we're going to ask people to like, share, and review the show, you know? And we'll keep the Discord just in the background. We've got the back catalogue where, let's face it, we pump that harder than a pump-action shotgun in the trenches of World War One. That was a pretty good sound effect. I actually thought you had a pump-action shotgun there. I was like, well, you know, he's from Texas. He's probably got three.
Yeah. I got three shotguns and a piece of straw in my mouth at all times.
Sounds like a man from Lincolnshire. This is why we're brothers from another mother. Question. Mags, thank you for Timeless. There are rumours on the underground that he's going to be announcing something soon for next year's event, which is great. We also met a gentleman there, Pumping Format, which is a show that's going to be in Manchester in October, I believe, RGT, is that correct?
October, yeah. Format play. Sort of.
I thought you pulled your mic there.
I thought he did too.
Okay.
Like, what happened? RGT is like, man, I panicked.
He did panic. Well, before we get lost in the weeds, we must say Marathon Gaming on YouTube to check out the video so you can actually see visually what we've been describing, and he probably does a far more eloquent job of summing it up than we did, but you know, a fun place to be.
nice to meet all the old friends and new. And yeah, well worth checking out if you get the chance to next year. With all that said and done, we've done the hidden gem. We've done Timeless. We've done what you've been playing. You know what it's time for, don't you? It's time for the news. We're scouring the news. Darkest region of the internet to bring you the latest stories. First up, more Yakuza. But I haven't even finished the last one yet. Sega and RGG Studio have released an extended look at Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name. And we won't beat around the bush. This has set up another amazing Kiryu adventure. The story stuff looks deliciously dramatic, and the gameplay, particularly the combat, looks an absolute blast. The wait for its November launch just got a lot harder. We've also given a glimpse of the game's optional activities, which are typically nuts. We've got live action hostess dates. That looks... Oh, God. Mummy, fetch the credit card. Classic karaoke, the return of model car racing, my favorite. Yes, Pocket Racer, plus darts, golf, billiards, and a suite of Sega arcade titles. Oh, and you can even customize Kiryu's appearance using outfits and accessories. What a time to be alive. But that's not all. The trailer reveals Like a Dragon Gaiden will include a special trial version of next year's Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. It'll be available to download when Gaiden releases on the 9th of November. Now, RGT, I know you're not a Yakuza fan. Seb, are you a Yakuza fan?
I'm going to tell you like this. I am a Like a Dragon, like the original Like a Dragon fan from 2020 fan. The other games where they're brawlers, didn't really care that much for. But I love Kazuya more than I like any character. Like, Kiryu? Like. Yeah. Even though he's the main protagonist of the whole entire series, like never could fall in love with that guy. Oh my goodness, I feel deep into Like a Dragon in 2020, and that's the one I'm looking forward to next year's turn-based down Like a Dragon game. This one, Hogwarts.
I've dabbled with the turn-based and then retreated instantly because it was like, oh, I don't know if I like this. I kind of wanted it when it was rumored. I remember we covered it as an April Fool's all the way back when they said, oh, it's going to be turn-based. It was like, oh, that's fun. And even I said, oh, actually, do you know what? That might actually play out okay. Since playing it, I don't know, it feels weird. I need to get the judgments finished and then I'll give it its fair due and then probably have to finish this before I get round to Infinite Wealth. But the side activities, they look great. Having Kiryu back is also interesting continuation of his story. It's nice now that they've managed to split the brand three ways now. So there's always going to be a game of some form. So we've got Yakuza, the Kiryu angle. We've got the Infinite Wealth, Like a Dragon angle. And then we've also got the Judgment angle. It'd be nice if they split off again. Obviously, in the PS4 era early on, they did a Fist of the North Star game, which was that engine set in the Fist of the North Star universe, which, if you haven't checked out, is well worth looking at, especially if you're a fan of the manga, anime, call it what you like. That is of interest to me. I don't know why they haven't diversified more, but obviously, Seb, this isn't your cup of tea. It's certainly mine, and one of our listeners in the Discord, Roast Space Monk's probably already set his napkin out on his lap. He's got his knife and fork in his hand, and Mumsy's putting his bib on. He's ready to gorge himself. Silly. He ain't coming up for air until he's basically wearing it.
Yeah. You know,
I had to remember it as a PG show there. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. And I just backed out. I just reversed out the door I came in through.
Pal. I was on the bleep button ready.
Yeah. Do we have a bleep button now?
No, just pretending that we're better than what we are.
Oh, okay.
As I say, we blew the budget of Timeless on a hot dog. So there's absolutely no way we've got a bleep button. No.
I was about to say, we need a bleep button. And it could be like a funny cat sound or a funny like RGT sound.
We used to in edit get the different sounds of startups of consoles put in, but Bobby lost himself one episode, and I think we went from Atari 2600 through to PS5.
You are kidding!
Yeah, it was about 9 hours of bleeping him out.
Oh wow, that editing must have been a nightmare.
When you get a New Yorker riled up, he's going to do some swears.
Yeah. But anyways, this is interesting. I think, like, I don't like the fact that they're calling all the Yakuza games like a dragon, because I feel like that feels confusing to the general populace, you know?
I think to, obviously, everywhere else, that feels not quite right. But obviously, to the Japanese, it feels like an alignment of names. And I think they were quite surprised with how well Like a Dragon was received. It also kind of allowed them to, as I say, create these three brands within the brand that allows them to always have something in rotation. So yeah, I'm excited for that. RGT, have you ever played a Yakuza game?
I played a demo once and I just could not get on board with it. It was so wacky for me. I just couldn't get there with it at all.
In a board meeting yesterday, it was decided that I would have what do we call it? Challenge RGT?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my first challenge...
No.
Get on board for this, Seb. This is great.
Okay.
More homework for RGT. What it is, it's a game that really no one should be able to stomach. Something from my back catalogue of very bizarre games I need to foist upon RGT once a month. And he has to trial it to see if he can stick the landing. Now, I did pre-warn him yesterday that it was going to be G1 Jockey on PlayStation 3.
Can we call this like video game fear factor?
That's
basically what it is. That's basically what it is.
That's good.
But I feel like the easy option would be to throw him a Yakuza. But now I think I want to revert back to G1 Jockey on any platform of your choice, RGT. You have 1 month to play at least 1 hour of G1 Jockey.
I'll make a note of that. Okay, so it's about three or four of those, isn't there?
I'd recommend the PS3 one where you get to run the stable at the same time, but the PS2 one would do you.
Really?
The graphical upgrade between PS2 and PS3 is non-existent.
Look at the bright side. You see me playing Lord of the Rings Gollum from this year.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
That's next month's.
G1 Jockey, 1 hour. Right, I better get that ordered off eBay.
You might like Lord of the Rings Gollum, though, because this has a farm simulator element to it, though.
Holy moly, how has this slipped me by?
It has a farm and simulator side to it.
Yeah, it has, like, really? you have to kind of corral, like, animals in Mordor into, like, a pen at one point.
No Stardew, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. But I'm like,
I like the way your ears pricked up there. You're like, I better listen to this because I like farming games.
You shouldn't. It is terrible. Like I kid you not, I have not played a game that was as disconjointed and felt like it was tarnishing an IP like Lord of the Rings Gollum.
Wow.
I don't know what ratings did that get. That must have got poor ratings on.
I think it was like 4 out of 10, maybe.
Ooh.
I
mean,
that's not representative of a bad game per se.
No.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me.
It's Metacritic. What you would avoid. I tell you what. While you dive deep on Wallen's Metacritic, I don't know why at this point we would do that because we all know it's terrible. But RGT, give me this next bit of news.
Down, down, deeper and down. We've heard some form of next-gen version of Minecraft since before Xbox Series X and S actually launched, yet nothing of the sort has materialized almost 3 years into the platform's life cycle. However, a new classification from the German ratings board is leading to speculation that a new edition of Minecraft is coming very soon. As spotted by Adam Marmo on Twitter, the USK has rated an Xbox Series version of the game this month. There is no definitive release date attached to the rating, but these sorts of classifications usually happen pretty close to release of a new title. So we are hoping this points towards the next-gen Minecraft port actually happening soon. We say we're still hoping because this thing has supposedly been coming for so long that we've almost given up on it being real. The hype around Minecraft getting proper ray tracing was legit back in 2019, 2020. But let's see if that promise actually comes to fruition in the coming weeks, months. Back in March 2022, Mojang actually added a preview ray tracing feature to Minecraft on Xbox consoles, but later admitted it was a mistake and removed the RT option. We're not sure what other enhancements are planned for a current gen Minecraft port, but clearly ray tracing in some form has still been worked on in recent years. In any case, this new German rating feels as close as we've gotten to the thing actually launching. So here's hoping we see a native Xbox Series XS of Minecraft sooner rather than later.
I feel that Minecraft, as you know, listeners, I've had a very interesting relationship with Minecraft. I approached it from outside, got sucked in, and then played it from beginning to end on the Unofficial Controllers YouTube channel, about the only content worth even looking at if you've got a spare 300 hours.
They have an end? Like, this game has an end, for real?
Yeah.
Yeah, you beat the Ender Dragon. If you can do that, you're a real bigger boy of gaming. Oh,
I didn't even know this had a story.
Yeah, won't say it's a... the story you make in your mind is way better than the one that they give you. But it was a great journey. And I feel like I'm kind of sick to death of those textures. To get this with ray tracing to see, drag it up to what you see some of the PC players playing with the ray tracing and the light sourcing and all that sort of stuff and some of the new texture blocks, I think might give this a shot in the arm it probably needs. RGT, you're a casual miner.
Yeah, I think...
A danger to miners.
Yeah, more likely. I think, you know, the PC players have been modding this for years with ray trace and better graphics. They've been, you know, I'm surprised it hasn't been done yet on consoles, to be honest.
That was one of the sort of hype trains that Microsoft rode into the Xbox Series X station.
Yeah.
Was ray tracing on Minecraft. And yet, we've all been stood there with our suitcases ready to board. Train much like British Rail.
You know,
not even getting us there.
No. I don't know how hard it would be to develop. Would they have to restart code in that game, or can they just patch it up so it
what makes me laugh on Xbox Series X, there's still just this, there's this button that says ray tracing that's just grayed out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame.
So it's been in or around, but no one ever dialed zero on that bad boy. And, disappointing, to say the least.
That is disappointing, because if you're still playing the standard, you know, vanilla Minecraft, if you're on a Xbox One or PS4, well, if you then go and dump the ray tracing on, it's going to give you, especially if you're one of them who puts thousands of hours in Minecraft, you're more likely to buy an upgraded console, aren't you?
Yeah, and maybe an upgraded version of the game, seemingly. Yeah. With this, you know, normally everything comes free, there or thereabouts, especially in the version of your enjoyment of the base level of the game. To wall this off seems a bit different to their normal strategy. I'm not going to say disingenuous, because, you know, hard work deserves to be paid for, I suppose. That's how the gaming industry works. You make something, people monetize that, and then you buy it, and then therefore they can make new stuff. But yeah, I felt, because that was such a hyped thing, obviously ray tracing of this new gen, PS5 just as guilty as Series X and S, don't get me wrong, and obviously Switch is left at the door somewhere with baked in lighting. But ray tracing was heralded as the new Jesus, and we've barely seen our new Messiah.
Yeah,
I think it depends on what game you play, though.
Yeah, you get your ray tracing, but you just got to, if you want ray tracing, you play it at 30 frames per second. You know,
feel like the most impactful thing we always wanted, though. I've been playing Witcher 3 with, obviously, on the Switch with its baked-in lighting, and maybe that's a disingenuous comparison, but certainly in the game, on the PS5 with the latest update, it's one of those moments where you're like, and the same with Jedi Survivor. Like, yeah, I can see them porting that to PS4, just going with a baked in lighting solution and getting away with it. We chase the ray tracing. Is that, Seb, do you think that's us not really knowing the technicalities and probably been spoiled by some great baked in lighting and probably not appreciating ray tracing? Don't get me wrong, grounds everything in the scene, gives it that look and feel that we may be looking for, but it's not essential, is it?
I think you chose two bad examples, if I'm being honest. Like, the Witcher, even though it does have a next-gen version, is still like a 10-year-old game. And then,
what's a great example of ray tracing?
You're really gonna think I'm a shield, but like Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Really good, really beautiful. He's
phenomenal
game.
Phenomenal.
Beautiful.
I'll tell
game.
You what else is good, lighting is Stray.
Stray is really phenomenal. Yeah, like, oh, the way, like,
on there is fantastic.
But my point is this: the amount of horsepower tied up in replicating ray tracing
Spider-Man as well.
Like, you could almost get away with it, though, with the baked-in solutions. I think we've been a bit spoiled.
I think it just kind of depends on the game. I'm like, I think if you can have it, why not have it? I think there are also like games that don't utilize ray tracing as well as it should be. You know, like you see ray tracing better in NBA 2K than you do in like The Witcher. You see it better in games like Spider-Man, where like Spider-Man can do 60 frames per second and give you ray tracing. Like Spider-Man, like the first party games are optimizing the console a lot better than the third party games at this point.
I'll give you that. It does still feel though to be
Horizon looks beautiful.
Yeah, I know, but it is a rather large dedication of your processing power to pull this off, which is why I think that we're gonna get those pro consoles stuffed up our backpipes at some point in time, and then it obviously can become a more it's always on feature rather than, I know some have it, but there's a bit of a compromise somewhere going on. I think the pros might give us that. Are they going to give us 8K? Probably not. Although last time I got the PS5 box out, it says 8K on the front, and I doubt we could do that at 15 frames at this point.
No, and the thing is like I've seen like there are experiences where like, like that machine can run 8K, but like no one has an 8K TV.
No.
Like no one, the technology on the TV side of things.
I think the point with the 8K though is if you can do 8K at something, give me 4K maxed out and I'll be happy. We haven't had that yet, really.
Nowhere near.
No. I think like Spider-Man gave a patch where like you can do 4K and do 60. Like
I thought it was 40.
I think they have like three hybrids now, but I could be mistaken. That's a you're wrong moment. But like the whole thing is like, you're right though. We haven't quite utilized the potential of what the PlayStation 5 it can do, and neither on the Series X. Like Starfield is going to be running at 30 frames per second, and that's their biggest game probably of all time on the Xbox side of the fence. Like, but on the other side of that like argument, it's like, I would probably say like, I don't. Oh, like instead of arguing that, I will probably say this generation, I don't even think we're getting a halfway point. Like, I don't think we're getting a midway console generation this way. Like, this generation, I think we're getting slim version. Like, I think like the market is going to lean towards PlayStation doing a slim version more so than doing a PlayStation 5 Pro.
Mainly from the fact that we say this every week. I still believe
we haven't scratched the potential yet.
We haven't even made the fan turn on in the PS5. Mm-mm. So give me something that melts that before you give me a reason to buy a PS5 Pro or an Xbox Series Next or whatever they're going to call it. It feels a bit naughty, to be honest with you. And I think I said, I don't know whether you agree with this, Seb, but I have the chance to talk this out with you. I think I will avoid the Pro version because going from a PS4 Pro to a PS5, the leap was barely registrable with those early games. Whereas if I'd gone from a vanilla PS4 to a PS5, the leap would have been visibly seen and you'd feel that frame rate improvement and everything. And therefore, you felt more of an impact of your next-gen console. Whereas the Pro is basically, and the Series, the One X did this as well, it's lessened the impact of that next-gen feeling that historically we've always had when we've leaped from generation to generation. We got halfway and had a little treat for ourselves. And then it kind of ruined the main meal.
I think that's more true on the Xbox, on the PlayStation side of the fence than the Xbox side of the fence. I think Xbox hasn't had any games to actually showcase anything yet. So I'm like, if we're being fair to that, but like the SSDs have been game changers. Like
they're the game changers of this gen. Yeah.
The SSDs. And then like the quick resume on the Xbox side of the fence is phenomenal. Like absolutely phenomenal piece of tech. Like on the PlayStation side of the fence, like if it had quick resume, I think you'd feel that a lot more. But like even still,
it's there, but it's nowhere near the same feature. It's kind of there, but it's the PS4 had that kind of resume feature and the PS5's got a quite kind of slicked up version of that. The Series X quick resume is obviously a different beast.
Yeah, but on the Xbox side of the fence though, it keeps track of five different games at the same time and you can immediately go back into that point in those five games. Mm-hmm. On the PlayStation side, you have to start from the menu. Like you can't just start like where you were on
five
games.
There is one way on PS5 you can do that.
How is that?
if you pause your game and then go into rest mode, when you turn back on, that'll click straight back into the game within seconds.
Yeah, but you can't switch to another game, though.
No, you can't switch to another game. Yeah. But you can get that sort of quick resume-y sort of thing that way. But yeah,
PS4 had that, though.
Yeah, that's rest mode. To clarify, like that's what they call rest mode. Like on the quick resume side of the fence, like on your Xbox, like you could play Forza, Fight Night, Dead Rising, and Ape Escape, and all four of those games in the same day, and like you could switch between those same games and then like continue right where you left off without having to even touch the menu. You know,
that's so good. That's brilliant.
That is next gen technology. Mm. Like that feels next gen. On the PlayStation side, having to even see the boot menu for every single game doesn't quite feel like that. Mm. You know, even if the SSD makes that like a 8 second like load time.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's just the way you utilize the tech. It will make it seem like that. And I don't think like we've had an application on either side of the fence that made it really feel premium next gen yet.
No. We've done the full loop here. A little bit of Nintendo news. Much like yourself, a certain character has been skulking around Nintendo HQ. That's why this is your news, Seb.
Major moves. Last month, Xbox Larry Major Nelson announced he would be departing at Microsoft and the end team Xbox after 20 years at the company. In his parting message on social media to more than 1 million followers, the senior director of the corporate communications mentions that he needed to take a step back and work on the next chapter of his career. Now, in an update that may or may not be related to this, the former face of Xbox, who worked on the global PR and marketing launches of games and more, revealed that he recently made a trip to Nintendo. While he hashtagged it with just visiting, some followers of the Major and Nintendo haven't been able to resist sharing their own thoughts about a possible matchup. On Larry's guest pass, it noted that he visited the office on the 18th of August. Considering that he has called time at Microsoft, this may just be him saying one last goodbye to any partners at Nintendo America's branch. The two companies have maintained healthy relations for a long time now, and Nintendo's HQ is just over the road from Microsoft in Redmond, Washington. In saying this, it can mean something else, but it's probably best not to get too excited. Over the years, employees of both companies have been known to jump in between the two industry giants. Nintendo and Microsoft have also worked together on releases such as Minecraft, Banjo and Kazooie, Steve and Alex in Smash Brothers, and more recently, games like GoldenEye 007 for the Nintendo Switch online service. So, guys, what do you think? Do you think this is something, nothing, or everything?
I think it's probably something of nothing, but it was a nice nod to see. Obviously, Major Nelson has been, to this point, like a rock of the Xbox brand. He's always had his fingers on everything. He's always been there or thereabouts. He's almost been like their voice pipe for everything they're doing, a barometer with the industry and fans alike to find out how the system's performing, how individual games are performing. He's synonymous with that brand. Obviously, with him taking a step back from Xbox to work on his next chapter, whatever that is, as far as I'm concerned, the man's pretty much gaming royalty. I personally would like to see him. I know they have this spot filled, but I see him being almost like a Reggie Fils and me of the modern generation. And if he could go to Nintendo and carry that work on with his passion and his interest and his love, I think I'd love to see it. And I think it would do Nintendo some good, actually. That's not to say that I think it's Doug Bowser's in the seat at the moment. He's doing a bad job. Obviously, he's doing an absolute stand-up job. Switch has seen some, you know, arguably unbelievable success. But I don't really feel he's got that dynamic of engagement that maybe Reggie had or Major Nelson has over at Xbox. So it would be nice to see. It's a pipe dream, don't get me wrong, but it's a nice news article. RGT, what's your thoughts on this? Then we'll come back to Seb.
Yeah, I think it's something of nothing, like you say. I think he's obviously has just visited. That's just at that time where he has just finished at Microsoft. Everyone's straight on the bandwagon. Right, he's going to work at Nintendo. That's, you know, probably not the case, but you never know. You know, like you say, they've been in partnership with certain things for a while, so I would imagine it was just a guest in to say goodbye, you know, guest pass, but you never know. Be interesting to know if he did, like you say. Be interesting to see what he would do over there.
Seb, there's only so many big jobs in the industry, and there's only so many big names in the industry. In a way, you could see it as like
the spots chair in professional sports. You know, there's only so many spots available.
Exactly. I was going to come up with, what's that chair game where everyone walks around and a chair gets removed?
Musical chairs.
Musical chairs. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness they have that in America as well. It does really feel like the musical chairs. I haven't slept, all right? And I personally feel like King Boo is chasing me every turn.
It's all good. You're on a kick right now. But to answer your future question, you're going to ask me what I think about all this. It's like, I don't think this is anything at all. I think this is him probably going in there saying hello and such.
I think my question is, although it is nothing, and I think we can all agree it's nothing, what would you love it to be? No strings attached. Would you like to see him there? Or would you want to see him homeless, another homeless stat in America?
I don't want to see him there because I don't think the games that he, you know, like aligns with, I don't think fit the portfolio of Nintendo very well and the ideologies of Nintendo. I think they can work together, but I also feel like
he's praying to a new master now, Seb.
Yeah, I would hope he does what a lot of these major like studio heads and are doing, and that's like go independent, like start a new company and give us new IPs. Like I think that would be exciting to see what like a new studio headed by him giving new IPs to the world, or maybe even like remastering an older franchise would do. I think I would prefer to see that because Nintendo, if we're being honest, only focuses on four major characters anyways, and like. And it's really a surprise when they don't focus on those four major characters. So
I would love to see, and this is completely left field, and I don't know why I've just come with this. Do you remember the Captain N game, cartoon series from the 80s? Are you aware of Captain N? You need to get on YouTube.
Before I was more.
Oh, my goodness. It still stands up. Well, yeah, it does. And this guy was this dude who was playing his NES back in the day, and he got pulled into his gaming console, went from real life to a cartoon. And he played with like Kid Icarus, a load of other characters from Nintendo's Hall of Fame at the time. It would be nice to see that turned into a video game. RGT, back me up here.
It sounds like it'd be good. I mean, I've never heard of the cartoon, but...
Did you not grow up in the 80s and 90s in the UK?
Yes, I did, yeah.
I guess you were outside with the bigger boys playing football while I was inside dreaming about Captain N, the Games Master.
So Captain N and the Game Master characters include Princess Lana, Eggplant Wizard, Mother Brain, King Hippo, Mega Man, Simon Belmont, and Kevin Keeney, a.k.a. Captain Ken. I think... Only in modern day times, probably people know only two of those characters.
That's why it's ripe to bring it back.
And even then, Mega Man's on shaky ground right now, you know?
Yeah. Well, who is he these days?
Yeah.
That side step aside, we wish Major Nelson the absolute very best. If you're at a loose end, suppose once a month we get your guest slot on the show, let me know. Let me know. Drop us a DM. Maybe. Mumsy, would you let Major Nelson in here? Only if he wipes his feet and says his P's and Q's. That's the only reason why he wouldn't. Okay, I'll let him know. With all that said and done, we've popped out the back end of the news, which like a fresh feces. RGT, how would the collective masses get in contact? Oh, hang on. What am I doing? Got ahead of myself. Community corrections section on the Discord. Have we made any boo-boos recently?
Nanny boo-boos.
No, as far as I know, none.
Flawless victory. If we have slipped up, though, if I've misspoke in some way and you want to let us know, head to the community corrections. If you pull us up in a pretty decent way, heck, I'll even send you a fridge magnet.
Right.
Oh.
And a signed poster.
Ooh, well, I say poster. International shipping.
Mm. Yeah, I'm in for that. You know, I'll ship something to Kenya for 400 quid. I'm not even bothered. By the way,
the problem is, who's got all the stock? Me, so that'll be me shipping it to Kenya for 400 quid.
Send me the receipt, you'll get rid of it. I must say thank you to Kenya. We're actually riding high in their charts right now. So thank you to everyone that's making that happen. We truly appreciate it. We're probably the biggest show in Kenya now. We're literally the stand by. We're one country at a time. We're knocking them down. We're going to be the biggest show in the world before we know it. And that's a very bizarre feeling, but we're very grateful for everyone and everything that's come our way along the way. And thank you for listening. Now, we normally pump the Discord here, but we're only going to gently pump the Discord because, Seb, how can the collected masses get in contact with us and let us know that I'm not safe to be on a microphone? I need to get more sleep. And the Switch is at this point 7 years old, George. You need a new toy.
Yeah, you can contact us, hit us up on questions at the unofficialcontrollerpodcast.com. You can DM us on all the social media platforms, aka the Twitter, or I think the young kids are calling it X now. The X.
Social media formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then, like, you can do Instagram, Big Blue Sky, whatever you want. And then, yeah, you can hit us up all there and you can ask us, you know, about our favorite things going on and all sorts of questions.
One thing I would say is if you're listening now, what we're going to push for now is for you to like, share, and review the show wherever it is you're listening to it. Go on, give us 5 stars. Well, give us whatever you think we deserve. But if it's any less than 5 stars, well, just do what you like. But we want 5 stars, basically. Leave a review. Do something wordy. You know, tell us how Seb sets your ears on fire in a good way. RGT's hidden gems propel you to the next level of human evolution and how I make you feel glad to be alive by comparing yourself to a lower form of human species. That... would be a great review. If I see that, I feel like we've done a good job. Let's put the news in the bin. It's time for the real legend of the show. Some quake in fear at his arrival, but I hail it like the coming of a new king. I didn't see him at Timeless, though. Did you, RGT?
No, but there were so many cosplayers there. I don't know if he was a lurking because there was the odd cosplayer with a bit of a mullet at the back, and I weren't quite sure if he was sort of incognito, stealth, sort of just hovering around it.
I think he's at the bottom of the drive. So let's find out exactly what he's come as this week. It's time for a peek in what we affectionately call Stingray's boot. What's nestled between some counterfeit nappies and a dodgy copy of Battle Friend all this week? These are the new release highlights for the week, August 21st through August 27th. Listeners, these are out in digital and physical, or will be by the time this podcast in your feed, but could be. Oh, they could be region dependent. Springstock Wattle Wall is out the vehicle. He's approaching me, and I see him as a cross, some bizarre fever dream. It's Mags cosplaying as Luigi. And Wainwright's come as a guest at Magigi's Timeless Game. Magigi, that's his name. He's come as a mini Slopes. Cosplaying as a 2-foot-high Slopes.
Wow. That's an image. For me, there's been some distortion in the time reality, I think, with me, because he's... They're both cosplaying, but they've got muddled up. So he's the top half is Cloud from Final Fantasy, but he's got Sonic the Hedgehog's legs. And Wainwright, the top half is Tails, but the bottom half, he looks a bit like Nathan Drake.
Oh,
very
wow.
Strange.
The top half I'm into, but like a mermaid. You never quite know which bit to commit to, do you? Because obviously the top half of a mermaid is beautiful, but how do fish make love? They kind of lay their eggs.
Where's this going?
Around the weed, and then the guide goes and sort of. It's a PG show. Mumsy, yeah. Thank you for stepping in. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely
Mumsy
right.
Mumsy does a lot of work around here.
Yeah. George and his fever dreams and no sleep.
She saved me from basically Apple Podcasts would have had my absolute guts for gas if we carried that conversation on. I know that for sure.
So I'm seeing this gent, and I like to call him Country Ray. Country Ray.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, yeah. Country Ray, aka Bubba Ray. But okay, Bubba Ray. But so Country Ray is, you know, wearing his standard overalls, but he has like right where instead of, you know, backless chaps this time and such like that, like he's wearing basically overalls, but he, on the tag right where the backless part of the chaps would be is like just a part that says just bring it. And he's got a stain on, he's got a black stain on his overalls, sort of like an oil stain. He's got a straw sticking out of his straw sticking right behind his ear, and he's wearing a country straw hat.
Wow.
He's always the farming type for you. He's always that sort of Bayou Billy type character.
Yeah. No shirt though. Still built like a bowling, upside down bowling. still built like an upside down
bowling. Gentlemen, I've identified a mummy from the boot. Have you?
Yes.
One of these I'm contractually obliged to pump because it's in my fantasy draft pick. If you want to find out who we picked and the evolving story of our fantasy draft, video game fantasy draft that we've been running, probably me badly, probably Seb's going to dance a merry dance around us all and come out wearing a crown, owning the business and being the secretly unveiled president of the Fur K Corporation. But anyway, I'm going to pump the second title because I'm contractually obliged. Who wants to take the first game out of the boot?
I'll hit the third.
You're going to hit the first third. One. Then. Okay.
Depowerball PC, August 21st. Depowerball is a competitive dragon feeding party platformer. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Be the first to feed the dragon queen and score points to win three rounds. As you win rounds, the other players will even the odds by taking away your powers, forcing you to adapt your strategy or get left behind. Wow, that's a game you'd come up with when you haven't had any sleep.
And it's on Steam Deck. What more could you possibly imagine? I'm taking Immortals of Avium, right? EA's next big play in the single-player space comes to PS5, PC, Xbox Series X. It's not on Switch because I don't think this would make a great handheld game, if I'm honest. This isn't for gaming on the go, unless you've got a Steam Deck. Immortals of Avium is a single-player first-person magic shooter that tells the story of Jack as he joins an elite order of battle mages to save a world on the edge of abyss. That's going to be my mummy, because I'm contractually obliged to do so.
Okay. Well, I'll take the next one. It is WrestleQuest for the PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and it's coming at you August 22nd.
It's on the Switch because that feels like a great game to take on the go.
Oh, really? You think so?
That's what I say every time.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Oh!
So we're going to tag team with Destiny. Pro wrestling and RPG fantasy collide in the ultimate pixel-powered adventure. You're going to play as Macho Man Randy Savage.
Wow.
And tons of other icons offer guidance as you powerbomb your way to glory beyond the ring. This hero's journey isn't just an epic quest. It's a wrestle quest.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of mildly interested in seeing this. I want to see how it plays out a little bit more. You're playing this correct or wrong? Yes?
Yeah. And
code for this?
I guarantee this is going to be better than AEW Fight Forever.
The Switch or on every platform?
Every platform.
AEW for sure, Fight Forever wasn't terrible, so that's high praise indeed.
I think I'm I'm a 7 out of 10 AEW Fight Forever. Maybe even 6 out of 10 AEW Fight Forever.
Ooh, I almost bought it on a win the other day. I'm kind of glad I didn't now, based on your lukewarm resolve.
It's not great. It's not just... It's not terrific. I think it's a lot of potential that wasn't realized. It felt like they left out so much, like absolutely so much. Like entrances are only at the top of the ramp. You don't even get to see them go all the way to the ring. The move sets and creation suites are very lackluster. Like, and then to add on to that, they're like outside of like the unlockables, which is basically five people. There's nothing really that's worth unlocking. It is a shallow end of the dream pool there. It's like everything that you want a wrestling game to be, except without all the bells and whistles that feel like a modern day pro wrestling game. It feels like a Nintendo 64 game, but just the base game.
It's what we asked for, and it's what they delivered. But when it got here, as with most things, we didn't actually want it.
I think you want a modern take on that that thing, though. You know, like, and it feels like, yeah, I wanted something a little more like you can pay homage to the past, but like have some of the modern like nuances and sensitivities that we like now. Like creating a wrestler shouldn't be a 2-hour thing to just edit their moveset, and it's not because like you can't decide what moves to put. It's because you can't find them because they put all the moves on one list, one gigantic list, and they won't let you skip through that. You have to go one by one by one.
Ooh.
It is cumbersome is the best way to think about it. Like in everything, it's either too simplistic or overly cumbersome versus like, say what you will about WWE 2K games. Like it is very easy to find a moveset, make a moveset, make a creation suite. And also, like, there's only 20 pieces of clothing in the entire game of AEW Fight Forever. 20. And a lot of it is very much like stock items to where, like, you can't color, you can color it, but you can't put like logos, you can't put tags on it. You also can't download other people's creations at all.
Seems very bare bones.
It is extremely bare bones. But so, yeah, I think this will be better. Like, WrestleQuest will be better just because, like, it is really a RPG, very much akin to, like, a 40-hour RPG where they're paying homage to wrestling, and it is very much a turn-based experience. I think, like, for a lot of people who really love the history of wrestling, will probably be dinging this game.
Interesting. Okay, well, you heard it here first. Blasphemous 2, PC, PS5, Xbox Series X. Seems like a great game to take on the go. That's why it's on the Switch, August 24th. The Penitent One awakens as Blasphemous 2 joins him once again in endless struggle against the Miracle. Dive into a perilous new world filled with mysteries and secrets to discover and tear your way through monstrous foes that stand between you and your quest to end the cycle once and for all. Gentlemen, don't fight over this at once, but the Ray's got one last thing in his boot. Who wants it?
I'll go if you like.
I was about to say, I'm fine with it too, but go ahead, RGG.
I think this will be my mummy, I think.
Ooh. For real?
Ooh.
Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon, PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, August 25th. A new action game based on the concept of the Armored Core series that uses the knowledge gained from Software's recent action game development. Now, this wouldn't normally appeal to me, but I've seen a few trailers and a few people discussing it, and I've suddenly thought, I quite like the look of that.
I'm a little worried. I like the look of it too, but what I'm most nervous about is obviously they've built up quite the user base of people that are into their Souls games at the minute. Exactly. You could release anything with the word Souls on it from Software and it would sell. I'm going to stick my neck out, and I've said this before, but I do mean it. From Software have almost become the emperor's new clothes of gaming. If you don't like their game, you basically don't know how to game. Therefore, reviews normally end up being glowing affairs. Now, they're not exactly readily available to every player. And in terms of that, I don't mean what system they're on or what format it's released on, but their gaming mechanics are an acquired taste, so to speak. But I don't see how the Armored Core series, which has obviously started its life on PS1, came through PS2, PS3, we arrive at this point where they decide to shake down the series right at their highest zenith with their most left-field series. Now, I feel this is going to sell initially to people who went all in on Elden Ring, a great game and probably their most accessible game to date, with probably their most bizarre game in terms of what they should have done next. Seb, what do you think of my take on that? Armored Core 6. We always say From Software's not everyone's cup of tea, but this is a cup of tea probably sweetened with salt.
I think your thoughts kind of mirror a lot of my own. I think, like, I always say every studio is due for a miss. Like, especially everyone, like, studios that are hit gold out of the park are always due for a miss. This feels like the miss for From Software.
Because, so do you think it's a miss because it isn't going to be technically a Souls game?
I think it's going to be a miss for a lot of reasons. I think From Software, like, say what you will, I don't, like, there's storytelling is not their strong suit. Like, they build lore, games full of lore where you hunt down the lore and that becomes a part of that story. But storytelling in itself is not part of their strong suit. And then this is the sixth game in an installment of a franchise that did not sell well. And also, like, all the people who have thought, oh, like, I really love FromSoft's last couple of games, or I really loved Elden Ring, are going to be looking at this new game thinking, like, oh, I can't wait. And, like, this game is going to be disappointing to a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. It's either going to be not FromSoft enough for the FromSoft fans. It's not going to be Elden Ring enough for the new people who got into Elden Ring. It's not also going to be, like, they really have to nail that story to also introduce, like, a franchise to people who haven't played an Armored Core game before.
It's been dead for a generation, but it is their most obscure series. Do you think
that this game will bomb because of it's From Software doing it?
No, I think it's going to sell because there's a lot of what I would call casual players, right, that have been garnered on the good faith. They're going to be telling their friends, oh, this is like a futuristic FromSoft game. It's going to be like Souls, but with robots. That's the goodwill train they're riding, I feel. The Armored Core fans are probably going to be quite happy they're getting a new game. It's been a while. They're going to be stoked. All four of them are going to be absolutely pumped. But those four players are going to be disappointed because I feel it's not going to be the Armored Core they wanted. And I feel the rest of the people that buy it are going to buy it, play it for about an hour, realize maybe longer because obviously they're going to put themselves through the mill because they're From Software fans, but then realize it's nothing like the games they like.
Can we be honest here too? This is coming at a bad time. Stupidly bad time.
And historically, like, Armored Core, it's not to say it's a bad game, but if you look at the reviews, it's 6 to 7s.
I forgot about mid. Mid. I mean, I I'm not even trying to be mean. It's a mid franchise that has getting a resurgence. That's also, like, from a studio that's been doing the highest of highs in the game industry at this point in time. And they have, like, I know everyone's, like, giving them the good faith balance of saying, oh, it's From Software. From Software, don't miss. Yeah, like,
so they're backed in a genre corner, basically.
Thing is, everyone's From Software due for a miss too, though. Got a lot of misses in their back catalog. If you really look at it from a wider mainstream point of view, they've got a lot of misses. And if you think about it, I think even the original Demon Souls, the Dark Souls, missed. And then people jumped on and said, oh, re-review, you don't know how to play the game, you don't understand it, it's this, that, it's the other. IGN pulled a review, re-reviewed it, and gave it a glowing score. And this is what I'm saying, this From Software almost click, or you're not good enough, get good. It almost kind of points... push is their review score up a little bit because the reviewer down say, oh, well, you know, because then the community will say, well, you're just not good enough to understand it. You can trace From Software back through their Tenchu spin-off, through their games on the PS1, the Kingsfield games, I believe they were called, or whatever it was. You arrive at this point now where they get that boost, but I feel they might have written a check here their ass can't cash.
Yeah, I love it, George. I love that energy. But yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, I feel like this has the elements of not necessarily being a flop. I do think this might be a middling success, though.
It will be the best Armored Core game they've ever done.
Oh yeah, and then it could still be a middling success because Armored Core didn't do well. Like, no. And it's coming out at a bad time. I'm like, Baldur's Gate is about to, like, around this time frame, Baldur's Gate is about to come to PC. Starfield is about to come out the week after. Like, the week after this game comes out. Like, that's already, no one on the Xbox side of the fence is going to be playing Armored Core when they could be playing Starfield, especially if Starfield actually hits. Like, if Baldur's Gate, like, if the PS5 port is everything that the PC port is promising, plus that this game has a $70 price tag, plus, like, they could be playing Final Fantasy 16 and every single other, like, major game that's come out late this year for $70. Armored Core does feel like the redheaded stepchild of the mix, if we're being honest. Doesn't it to you? Like,
oh, it does. It does. But to say it out loud feels a little bit naughty. Listen, Ray's lent up his car, is sucking on a dirty Lambert. He's kind of looking a little bit angry to me, to be honest. And soon as I see him as Mags, dressed in Luigi gear.
What about VHSs?
That's what we're going to get to that. That's why he's Mardy. That's why he's lending up the car. He's furious.
Okay, he's gone.
No, he's not gone yet. My VHS is a knockoff cam copy of Witcher Series 1 with Henry Cavill, because you've got to write the theme tune, sing the theme tune, be in the theme tune.
Yeah, but knowing you, how you want to consume your media at the moment, you're going to watch it through a CRT with Vaseline smeared over your glasses just so you get that switch look.
That's why I've got it on VHS. RGT, what's your VHS classic?
I am going for the Wraith.
Ooh, what is this?
This was, I believe.
What is this?
This could be a community creation. I think it was Charlie Sheen's first film, where he comes back as a supernatural car and starts taking out the gang that killed him in the first place. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that. Pure 80s.
Harvey Retro just span round and dragon punch thin air. He's found a fan of the Wraith.
The Wraith, brilliant. That's one of Mrs. RGT's favourite films, so we'll sit down and watch that.
Okay, and Superstar Triple S, as you're known on the street, what's your VHS hidden pick?
VHS hidden pick. I think today I'm probably going to go with Braveheart. I think I'll do Braveheart.
That's a solid safe pick. I like it.
Yeah, I tried to choose some. I'm in a Brian Cox mood ever since, like, Succession ended. So I'm like, that's a solid pick.
Definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, with that all said and done, I look down on the floor, and all I see is a tiny miniature version of Slope's cap. What looks like some of Mags' bodily fluid, not sure which one, smeared across a silk cravat. May even be mine. Okay? I'm going to pick it all up. I'm going to put it in, what have I got to hand? Oh, a cup. Let's put it in there. Perfect. I'm going to take it home. He's gone. What's left, we all know, when that's all said and done, that there's only... No, it's not the end of the show.
Uh-uh.
It's not the end of the show. Because I need to ask you, gentlemen, what you're hoping to play. Seb, what you're hoping to play over the next gaming week?
I just thought of a controversial statement. Like, Twisted Metal could come back and be more successful than Armored Core at this point, considering the show did well.
The show's doing well. Yeah.
I love the show, by the way. I absolutely love the show.
I've yet to see that.
It's funny. It's not, don't expect like 10 out of 10 Last of Us type of thing, but it is fun. It's fun. It's like, it's entertaining. It is very much like almost Guardians of the Galaxy slapstick humor, but in a Twisted Metal type of vibe.
That's a cocktail that I did not expect to taste like that when you described it to me on the menu, but you know, I'll slurp it down anyway. So I've got to check this out, have I?
Yeah, lots of humor, sure, but like it has a lot of heart. Is why I say it's like Guardians of the Galaxy, where like in the it's like they made sure that they built out and fleshed out all the major characters that are part of this. And I didn't think I'd ever see that from a Twisted Metal property, because this is more fleshed out than the game ever was. So, yeah, I definitely recommend that. But what am I going to be playing? Of course, I'm going to be playing the King of the Year, the true ruler of the throne, instead of that false imp known as Link. I'm going to be playing Baldur's Gate 3. You know, I'm going to be playing Baldur's Gate 3, which is might be the first game that I play on PC and also get the PS5 version. Like, it is that good.
Wow.
It is legitimately that good. So, yeah, I'll be playing Baldur's Gate 3, and I will be also, I guess I don't foresee it actually being a real possibility, but I need to finish Final Fantasy 16, but Baldur's Gate 3 just wiped out all that motivation, if I'm being honest.
That game, it's not what I wanted it to be. I know it's a game in its on its own merits and great to have one that's enjoying it. It's just not my cup of tea, I'm sad to say. I am actually sad to say, because I was hyped for that going in. RGT, what are you hoping to play?
Well, one which I didn't mention in my what I've been playing is I've got the beta for EA FC24, so I've been playing on that. I'm going to play some more of that beta, see how we get on.
Who's your team?
What I always do on the FIFA games is I always start from the bottom division for just a random team each year and try and build them up. So this year I'm Bradford City. So I'm trying to tap those up for the
league. It should be Lincoln.
But, yeah, I've done one with Lincoln before.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to play some more of that. Try and wrap up Tears of the Kingdom. Need to get back on Final Fantasy 16, because obviously I've been away, so that's been Switch all the time. So get back on the PS5 and play that. And then be doing some more. Got some more games coming for potential hidden gems, so I'm going to be playing them, retro games, but obviously I won't say what they
are. Don't forget G1 Jockey, baby.
And also I've got G1 Jockey to enjoy for at least an hour of my life that I'll never get back, so I'll report on that next week.
So, RGT, a quick question, yes. Are you going to be playing Starfield when it drops?
Yes, I will do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a go. I don't know if that'll be day one from when it drops straight away, but that first week I will hopefully jump on it. Yeah. So I'm intrigued. Okay. I'm intrigued to see what it's like. So I think it's got so much hype around that game now. I'm desperate to see what actually. I mean, we've seen snippets of gameplay, but I want to see what that game's about. So,
I'm so excited for it. Like, it is, it's almost like being excited for a drama show, but I'm so excited.
Yeah, well, I love space games. And if they can really make a big space game that is an adventure and you can explore, and that's all it's hyped up to be, then I'm all over that.
Kind of needs to be, but they've put themselves in
it. It does. I've never known a game that has got so much pressure on it.
I'm telling you, this game feels like it is got the weight of Mount Olympus on his shoulders. And if it's anything less than a 10 out of 10, it feels like it's not going to feel acceptable at this time, especially after Halo Infinite, after Redfall, especially after everything. Like, Microsoft still to this day does not have an exclusive that people are clamoring for. Because say what you will about Forza, no one's buying a console for Forza.
No.
Sad, but
yeah. George, where are you gonna be playing?
Thank you for asking. I'm gonna tear myself into some more Witcher 3 on PS5 when I'm on the go. I'll take it on the Switch.
Who's the girl you're romancing? Is it Yennefer?
Well, I killed Triss, so it's not her.
Oh.
Was it her I killed? She'd gone a little bit OTT, and I was like, I'm going to have to put this down. Then it ended up like me actually killing
down.
It. I know. And I didn't actually want to do it, but the game kind of committed you to it, and there was no way out of it once I pressed the button. I was like, oh no, I'll just go for it. So she's down. Probably going to end up being Yennefer, to be fair. But it is what it is. I'm not overly bothered about the romance element of that game. It's just the story and the world and the setting and the lore which draws me in. I'll be playing some more of that, some Luigi's Mansion and that fabulous Eastwood game that RGT and a good friend Mike Rouse recommended, and I'm thoroughly enjoying. And that's probably it, unless I dig even deeper into the Switch's back catalogue. And as you say, throw Odyssey on there. Wafting around your Steam Deck, to me, you know, it's like going in the showers with a well-endowed man and him helicoptering at you. It's not helpful at this point.
I know. UCP, 6 years in the future, George finds a Steam Deck. Oh, it's the best console ever. You have to take all my old PC games on the go. Yeah, I found a whole new library.
And he's gonna be like, man, these PC games super cheap. Like I've been buying all these full price games. Like I've been buying The Witcher on Switch for $60 when it's like $8.99 for like the premium version right now on Steam.
Yeah.
Let's remortgage Father's Ashes.
Yeah, and then he's going to be like, man, it actually loads really quickly. Oh, it also plays Game Pass. Oh, I can play my PS5 remotely on this. And then he's like, why did I buy that? Why did I buy that Switch? Why?
Because it's fun.
And I love it.
And it was affordable.
Yeah.
But in saying that, the money that I've blown on Switch, back catalogue, accessories, and cleaning cloths, tote bags.
Yeah.
At this point in time, probably could have got me a Switch, Xbox Games Pass. I've already got PS Premium. It would have got me all those emulators. It would have got me Steam Pass. It would have got me everything.
Yeah,
I think I'm done with PlayStation, like extra premium, like old premium and all that kind of stuff. I think extra is just fine.
I dropped mine down. I had premium. When my premium ran out, I dropped down to the one below, which is what, essential, is it? Or
extra, it's like it goes to essential, extra, and then premium.
Yeah, so I've got the middle one now. I dropped down from premium.
I've got premium till 2026.
I didn't see the value in it, so I dropped down to essential. I'm like, give me the little free games that no one wants to play every month, and then now I'm like, all the other games are already on Game Pass. All the other games already, besides, you know, like this, the like PlayStation first party games. But I'm like, at the point they get to like that platform, they're 4 years old at that time. They're old, dusty, and have a cane.
But like George's Switch.
Exactly, like George's Switch.
Say sorry to Brian now. I've called it Brian.
Brian?
Yeah, why not?
Why do you pick Brian at the home like that? Brian was minding his business at the retirement home. You just plucked him out of the home like that.
Yeah, slapped him in the dock, Brian. Forced him to sweat his guts out. Probably needs his thermal paste changing, but he's creaking on by. All that aside, I think we've arrived at the point in time where it's the end of the show. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure to see you. To those that are listening, this is your first episode off the back of Timeless. Welcome to the family. If you want to explore the Discord, you know where it is. Links are everywhere, but we're not pushing it now because people are scared of things getting pushed. All right. So we're not even going to mention it anymore. You're just not cool if you're not in there. And I would say
NWO back in the 90s.
Exactly like that. The Discord is the wolf pack, baby. I think that's it. So as always, that's all we have time for this week, listeners. Thank you for the time. Look forward to the pleasure of speaking to you again next week. Until then, happy gaming. And remember, there's nothing wrong with being given the unofficial controller. It's what you do with it that counts. See you guys.
Peace.